Good day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and thank you all for tuning in to CIDI's daily news show, Township's Daily News Bits. On today's episode, I chat with Mary Perkey and Loïc Mercier all about the Maisot Education Project. The Maisot Education Project is a project that was started here in our region of the Eastern Townships, particularly in Lennoxville, to raise awareness around the displacement of people from Myanmar, Burma, by repression and conflict. The project involves having youth volunteers, usually from Bishop's University, that go to Maisot, Thailand, to assist refugee and migrant children, particularly through educational initiatives. After a two-year hiatus, the project kicked off again for the 2022-2023 session, and there are volunteers currently in Maisot trying to continue to carry out the mission of the Maisot Education Project. As the project moves forward, project committee members are looking for a new generation of community members to get involved to ensure that the project continues on in for future years. Mary, who is the coordinator for the Maisot Education Project, and Loïc, who is a member of the project committee and who has also volunteered his time in Maisot, speak to us all about the project, the volunteer experience, and finding others to get involved. Mary and Loïc, before we get into our interview, I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with CIDI all about the Maisot Education Project. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
So, Mary and Loïc, as I mentioned, we're here today to discuss the Maisot Education Project, a youth volunteer project to assist refugee and migrant children from Myanmar, Burma, living in Maisot, Thailand. So, Mary, as the coordinator for the project, I just wanted to start off by asking you how this project got started and why. Perhaps just a little bit of history for our listeners at this end of the region that might not be aware as to what your project is exactly.
Sure. It goes back to the 1990s, really, when I was one of the co-coordinators, along with Heather Thompson, of the refugee sponsorship group at Bishop's in Champlain. And we sponsored a couple of young refugees from Burma at that time. Over the next years, we became aware of the situation in Maisot, and we decided, some of us who were in the group or connected to the group, decided that it would be interesting if our refugee sponsorship volunteers had the opportunity to have some kind of on-site experience and learn about what living as a refugee or forced migrant is on a border. At the same time, my daughter happened to be working at a medical clinic in Maisot and told us we could do something there, that there were schools. And gradually we developed a connection with a number of different schools, and the idea of sending volunteers there for fairly extended periods of time, 6 months, developed. Really, it grew from that seed, the project. So it was a combination of serendipity, of a commitment that already existed to refugee protection here in our community, and opportunity that presented itself, both for learning on the part of students and for support of a migrant community that was fairly isolated and in need of support.
Yeah, and from my understanding, a major part of the project is also raising awareness, you know, in Canada and within our community as to what's taking place there. So I didn't know if perhaps you wanted to highlight as to what exactly is going on in those areas right now for those who might not be aware. I know that's another major part of the project.
Well, Loïc just returned in June, and so maybe I'll let him answer that question. And
yeah, sure. Well, without giving a full history course of the situation of politics in Myanmar, there have been a lot of difficulties in the effort to create democracy in Myanmar, and that's resulted in a series of different military regimes controlling government over the years. And most recently, in February 2021, we had the most recent coup d'etat in Myanmar. So that's created a lot of migrants fleeing the country into Thailand. Maisot is a city that is right on the border of Myanmar, but on the Thailand side. And so There are now a lot of refugees that have a variety of different legal statuses that allow them to be in Thailand for any number of different reasons and different lengths of time as well. Okay. So the children and that are in need of education are sometimes part of the Thai school system, but sometimes part of what we call the migrant education system on the border as well. And some of those schools are the schools or learning centers with which we partner.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Loic. I'm sure there's some people who aren't aware as to what is actually happening. Of course, you know, like we're not always aware as to what's going on internationally. I wasn't sure if there was anything that you wanted to add to that, Mary.
Well, I think Loic covered it broadly quite well. I guess the problem is that in recent years, since the coup, I think a great deal of attention has, for many good reasons, been focused on other places in the world. For a long time, it was Syria. And more recently, of course, it's been the Ukraine. It's been Sudan recently and Ethiopia. And it seems to us that Myanmar has fallen through the cracks to some extent, maybe because there is a fatalistic idea that military rule is inevitable in Myanmar. I'm not sure exactly, but in any event, our feeling is that the need remains to draw attention to it. The message we're hearing from people in Mae Sot is, you know, please get the community, the international community, the Canadian government, the Canadian people involved in putting pressure on the Myanmar government. I have to admit that it seems like a hopeless cause at times. Among the Myanmar population, among the people we work with in Mae Sot, there's really a strong interest in renewal of a kind of democracy, certainly of civilian rule, and whatever its imperfections there. And definitely during the years when there was civilian rule, sort of between 2016 and 2021, it was certainly an imperfect kind of democracy. Nonetheless, it did allow for opposition. It did allow people to participate. And this is the people we work with in Mae Sot are not fools. They're smart people, and they understand the difference between oppressive autocratic rule and democracy, and they really just need lots of support. Helping their kids to learn about alternatives to autocratic rule is part of the mission of the migrant education community, and it's also provides us with an avenue for supporting that community, because of course we're interested in that as well.
Yes.
What's impressive to see is, as much as sometimes we feel a little bit cynical and might feel like we're fighting an uphill battle, let's just say, the amount of optimism and faith that there is a better tomorrow waiting is really quite impressive.
Yes, Loic, from my understanding, you, like Mary mentioned, you're one of the volunteers that went there, so I'm sure you witnessed exactly the significant impact that this project has when you go to these migrant school centers. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, I think it's important to hear from a volunteer and, you know, their experience going there. So I was just wondering, as one of many that have taken part in volunteering in this project, I was wondering if you could speak on your experience a little bit in Mae Sot and what it involved exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So I first visited Mae Sot in 2017 as a volunteer teacher. At the time, I was a student at Champlain Lennoxville College. We were trained as volunteers, given a short ESL training, as well as training on the political situation and the history of Myanmar and Thailand, because Thailand does have a history of various coups as well. And in June 2017, me and three other volunteers from the region left to go live in Mae Sot for 6 months in a fairly traditional Thai house. So we really got to live a real cultural immersion, where we really had the experience to live like the people from Thailand. I think that's a very important part of the experience as well. We're not simply there to be, you know, saviors or providers of our Western philosophy or privilege. We're there to really be curious about what their needs are and try to, as much as possible, provide that without interrupting or interfering with the work that they're doing over there. And so that experience was really life-changing for me in many different ways. And I've actually discovered through that a passion for teaching, which I continued to do when I came back. And now I'm a student at Bishop's University. And since 2020, I've been part of the project committee. And I got to return this year with the new volunteers from this batch of recruitment, if you will. And I got to visit the schools and see what their needs are for the upcoming year, as well as help the new volunteers get settled into their new role.
Yeah, that's what I was about to mention, was that from my understanding, over the last couple of years, the project was put on hold as a result of the pandemic, but the migrant school centers finally opened their doors again, so the project kicked off again, if I'm not mistaken.
We had one volunteer who went in 2022-23, okay, and that was the renewal, that marked the renewal of our activities there. During COVID, we were still active. We simply could not send volunteers. Mm-hmm. They were very busy in Mesa trying to do what they call home-based learning. They sent teachers out to villages to meet with kids and give them worksheets and try to encourage them to carry on with their schoolwork in different ways. So we did send money that was used for transportation for those activities. Their transportation is quite expensive there. Materials and other needs they had. They were also giving food supplies to families in many instances because of the isolation that was required by the Thai government due to COVID. So we did continue our activities, but the volunteering, of course, was put on hold. The other one form of volunteering we did do that continues to this day is another member of our community, Lee Sullivan, and myself started Zooming with groups of older students, Sejab age students from one of the learning centers. And once a week, ever since then, we've been on Zoom with them for an hour to help them with their English and just help them realize that there's a world out here and that people are interested in them. And that's been a very gratifying experience as well. But it's wonderful to have volunteers returning to Mesa. There's nothing like face-to-face, as we've all learned during COVID. So we're very happy that we've been able to renew activities.
They're willing to spend hours on a little tiny smartphone screen on Zoom with a teacher on the other end of the world. They're willing to make that step to wake up earlier to have that FaceTime. It's quite impressive. And there are some partner organizations that have helped with providing devices to teachers or schools where these projects were ongoing. But for the most part, smartphones are still probably the easiest way to access some of this content.
And I wanted to ask, you know, before we started this interview, Mary, and before we coordinated this interview, you mentioned to me over the phone that you and Loic and other members of the committee, now that your project is back in full swing, are looking to build a new generation of volunteers to get involved with the project. So I was just wondering if either of you or the both of you wanted to comment on this and why it's such a critical time for your group to get others involved and in supporting the project.
Loic, who's taking the lead in a lot of these activities, speak to this for the most part. But in terms of the need, to be really honest, we're a wonderful project committee. We make decisions through consensus. We get along really well. About half of us are what many people would call elderly. And the other half are quite young. We have a really nice team of people that includes former volunteers, several, and then people from the community, most of whom have been in education in one way or another at Bishop's Champlain or even in the elementary school system. That's fine, but some of us are aging And it really makes sense to renew the project committee, the organizing team, and to keep new people, younger people coming in. I feel that need. I have no desire to stop being involved in the project at all, but I recognize that it needs to have a base in the community that goes beyond the base we currently have if it's going to be sustainable into the future. And I think that sustainability, I mean, all projects end at some time or another. It's the nature of things, but there is need, there is opportunity, not only for the students there who benefit from the presence of foreign volunteers, but for learning among the student community here and the larger community as well, who has supported us very nicely and generously in the past. So why stop? And with that in mind, I'll turn it over to Loic.
Yeah, well, that certainly covers a lot of it, but the younger members certainly feel, as well as the more senior members as well, certainly feel a level of concern regarding the future once these key members retire from the project entirely, whether that be in, you know, 5 years, 10 years, or whenever that happens. So we are trying to build a generation of volunteers that are maybe somewhere in between students or retired professors or members of the community. So that's definitely a certain challenge. And of course, funding is tied to that as well. We have a good base of very reliable donors, but some of which are retired members of the community as well. And so we're not starting from scratch, but we want to keep that wheel turning once some of these key members retire.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in a position where you don't have anyone there to get involved with the project. You want to build that community around the project so it just continues. And how can people get involved exactly? That was my next question. I'm sure there are a number of ways that people can contribute to the project.
Yeah, definitely. Well, funding is always, of course, a very simple way to contribute. We accept donations through the Bishop's University Foundation. Steps for that can be found on our website, which the URL recently changed. It's now
mesoteducation.ca.
Exactly. I didn't want to make a mistake on that. So steps for donations are there, and also different information on how people can volunteer. But of course, if they want to give their time, we're always looking for people to help us run different fundraiser events or different events that we have for the community. Some we consider to be more friendraisers or events to raise awareness of the situation and of the work we do. But of course, funding is always the easiest, most simple, and useful way.
In terms of outreach, we do often speak at events. There are lots of clubs and small community groups in the townships, and we're happy to speak in either French or English to people who are interested in learning more about the situation. Those events, as Loic suggested, are not really so much about raising money. They're really about that other mission of the project, which is to encourage awareness. And not only awareness of the situation of Myanmar, but awareness of the whole problem of forced migration, which is everywhere in the world and which people think about in many other contexts. And this is just one of them. And there is a lot of work to be done in Canada to help people appreciate why people migrate, you know, what situations they find themselves in when they're migrating, and maybe to understand the reality that for most people in the world, home is still best. And if they're not there, it's not because they don't want to be. It's because life has been really, really difficult for them. Mm-hmm. And they've been forced into situations that they can't control.
Yeah, just raising awareness around the refugee crisis that's happening, which we're all aware of. It's happening, like you mentioned, everywhere right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, those are all the questions that I had for the both of you about the about your education project. But I wasn't sure if there was anything else that either of you want to mention that you think would be important for people to be aware of that I may not have touched on in my questions.
One last thing that comes to mind for me is as people who have been and who continue to work in the field of education, the most optimistic thing or encouraging thing to see is that this new and upcoming generation, whether it's Gen Z or Gen Alpha, are really much more optimistic about the future, or at least have a sense that things are about to maybe get worse before they get better, but they're certainly going in the direction of eventually getting better. And I think that that's, we have as much to learn from our students as maybe our students have to learn from their teachers in that regards.
I think Loic has covered that just brilliantly. I mean, a really critical part of the project, from my perspective, there are two threads that have been really important through all of it. One is that education for these migrant kids is a right. When we assist, it's not from a position of charity or care. It's from a position of recognition of their right and the corresponding responsibility we have to be engaged in helping a community. That's a key factor from my point of view. The other thread, a good part of our fundraising is for assistance to our partners in MESA, but we also raise money to support our volunteers. And they're making smaller financial contributions at this point because we can't do that as completely as we would like to. But we want to do most of our fundraising collectively and to receive support from the community on that basis, with the idea that we can then enlist volunteers who may not ever have the money to engage in this kind of serious commitment, which it really is,
yes,
and work without support. So that's the kind of second thread in our philosophy that I think is important to understand.
Well, thank you both so much again for speaking to me about your project. I really appreciate it so much. And thank you for your time again, Loic and Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.